Did you know that the ice cream cone originated from a humble pushcart vendor in Hoboken, New Jersey, in the early 1900s? If you didn't, let's talk about it. Welcome to Design Dive, the podcast that explores design that's all around us every Wednesday in just 10 to 15 minutes so you can get on with your day. My name is Chris Downs, and whether you're a designer or just simply curious about how design impacts our everyday life, you're in the right place. So, let's dive in. All right, today we're going to talk about the ice cream cone, where it came from, the inspiration that prompted the design of it, and how it's still a key part of desserts today. Now, the true inventor of the ice cream cone came from a man by the name of Italo Marchionne. There is different beliefs about where the ice cream cone originated with this man, and some rumors that it came from the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in 1904. But that really wasn't true. It actually came before that. So let's talk about exactly where it came from. Now, Italo Marchionne, he was an Italian immigrant that resided in Hoboken, New Jersey. His occupation and how he made his living was as a pushcart vendor selling lemon ices on to Wall Street brokers and runners at the time. Now, the year is 1902. Now, just to provide a little context on how these vendors ran things and kind of the common practice of the day was that you would go there, purchase ice cream, and it would be given to you in a glass dish. And this dish, you would eat it there on the spot, and once you were done, you would return that glass dish so that they could stow them away, wash them later, and once cleaned, use it for the next customers. Now, Marchionne, his frustration was these glasses were easy to lose and broke all the time. It was common for them to break these, and really it was hard to fumble around with them and take them everywhere he went. So he decided to come up with an idea to make an edible cup. So he actually experimented with this recipe and found out that he could make some sort of a waffle, and as it cooled, he could bend it and it would stay in that shape. So after discovering that he could do this, he would make them by hand one-on-one, take them out on the street and start selling them, and it was a huge hit. Everyone loved them, and it was just something new and different that no one had seen before. But the problem was he was making these one by one by hand, and he couldn't keep up with the demand and the amount of sales he was hoping to make. So he actually reached out to his father, and in his own words, he said, quote, "Father had a good head for mechanics as well as for business. So he adapted the design of the waffle iron to create a device into which batter could be poured and baked." So essentially, he could, with this mold, create 10 different cups in one batch, and this moved 10 times faster than what he was doing before. So it was a huge success. And after this invention, there in 1902, he filed a patent for this iron, and he was approved for this patent in 1903. Now, he went on selling these and was very successful. And you would think, great, all is well, all is done. But if you heard me earlier, I had mentioned he made an edible cup. Now, this isn't an ice cream cone. And funny enough, when I was researching, most sources actually credit the invention of the ice cream cone to a man by the name of Ernest Hommwe. Now, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but it's worth mentioning that Marchionne participated at the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in 1904. Now, this was a big deal. Lots of exhibitors would show up and sell their creation, and it got a lot of views at this event. Now, there, as I mentioned before, is a misconception around ice cream cones originating at this exposition, and it's sort of correct. Now, Mocconi at this exposition was selling these edible cups that he had come up with, and he was having a hard time keeping up with the demand of just such a big expo here. And so he actually turned to a man by the name of Ernest Homwy. And at the time, at this exposition, Homwy was making Zalbies, which are a Syrian cookie that's thin, like a thin waffle. And he asked if he would make these Syrian cookies into a cone shape so that he could serve them for ice cream. Homwy thought it was a great idea and went along with it. And there you are. The birth of the ice cream cone showed up here at this exposition in 1904. Now, it gained popularity here, and the idea really branched out and just kind of spread all throughout the world, but it branched out from here. After the exposition, Mocconi returned to Hoboken, New Jersey, and he actually established a cone-making factory. He thought it was just a great idea. It was something simple that could grow, and he actually expanded his business, his humble vendor cart, to a full-fledged fleet of street vendors selling ice cream cones in Manhattan. He had, at its peak, 45 vendors out on the street selling ice cream cones. Now, it doesn't stop there. Mocconi also created these ice cream stuffed cookies, like an ice cream sandwich, and offered that as just another alternative instead of the ice cream cone. I guess he was just such on of a creative kick that it sold very well and was very successful. Now, later on in 1938, Mocconi's ice cream brand would later be acquired by Schraff's, and he would retire that year. But it's worth noting that Mocconi made a lasting impact on the ice cream industry and ultimately the popularization of the ice cream cone. He played a pivotal role in the invention of it. Yes, it started with a waffle cup that was edible, but eventually it transitioned to the ice cream that we know and love today. Now, it's worth mentioning, if we look at maybe some things that we can learn from this, it's okay to turn to other people for help. And in two situations, Mocconi turned to his father, who knew more about machines and was able to develop a better system and designed this waffle iron that would work better for his business. That ultimately led him to being successful and even being at the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in the first place. Secondly, he collaborated with Ernest Homwy and had him help make these cones on the spot here in order to be able to keep up with demand. It's interesting that he did reach outside his own realm instead of being stuck in the own pride of his own design, and he made something different and took the risk. So when it does come to design, number one, we need to be willing to reach out and collaborate with others if design is to get better. And number two, we also need to be willing to change and adapt if necessary, especially to other people that are doing something different. They might have resources available to just make that design better. So the next time that you're eating an ice cream cone, just remember the thought that went in behind it to making a simple edible cone to prevent glass from shattering and the hassle of carrying around cups everywhere these vendors went. And that's our dive. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the channel, leave a rating or review, and follow this podcast on social media for updates on new episodes every week. But until next time, keep learning, stay inspired, and remember, design is all around us. See ya.